When Mother Teresa, the compassionate nun of Calcutta, spoke before an audience in sophisticated Washington, D.C., she addressed a deep concern of hers, the abortion issue. As our pro-abortion president sat behind her, she boldly said, "Send me your babies." Again, it was her guts we admired. Would you have the guts to say what she said? That's why we admire Esther. She not only says she will do something, she does it, not knowing if she will live to see another sunrise. A silent yet eloquent interlude. Between chapters 4 and 5 of this ancient book of Esther, I find nothing but white space in my Bible, as I'm sure there is in yours. It's a break in time. It's a space of suspense when we don't know what is happening. Nothing is recorded for us to read. We left Esther just as she had sent word to Mordecai that she was going to enter the king's presence uninvited, which could mean her instant death. Then there is a grand pause, and we pick up the story again at the moment, 3 days later, when Esther is preparing to walk into the presence of the king, not knowing what the future holds. She literally breaks the law of the land by voluntarily interrupting the king. This space represents a silent yet powerful interlude during which Esther draws on the source of her strength. How easy it is for us to forget that source. How easy for us to believe that she was born with a Mother Teresa conscience and a Joan of Arc courage. Yet just as no one is born prejudiced, so no one is born courageous. Allow me a moment to pause here and ask you a couple of very personal questions. Do you teach your children to stand up for what they believe? Are you teaching your grandchildren how to be people of character, regardless? That is the way they will learn it. Let me probe one question deeper. Are you modeling authentic character? That leaves the message permanently etched in their minds. You see, Esther did not come onto this earth with a sensitive conscience and a courageous heart. She learned it from her cousin, who became her mentor and adoptive father, Mordecai. He knew how far he could stretch her with his challenge. And she rose to the challenge and said, "I'll do exactly as you have taught me to do." But remember what else she said. "Assemble all the Jews in Susa and have them fast for 3 days. My handmaidens and I will do the same. After that, I will go to the king." This implies that during this time of fasting, she would also be waiting on her Lord in prayer. That's what fasting is all about. The Jews didn't stop eating to lose weight. They fasted for spiritual reasons. When an issue this prominent became their concern, it was no time for fun and feasting. Things got pretty intense as they filled the time they would normally spend preparing and consuming food in protracted periods of prayer and quiet fasting. So Esther challenged Mordecai to round up as many of God's people as he could find in the streets of Susa and have them fast and pray for her. She was saying, "Pray for me, fast for me, and my maidens and I will do the same, and we will see what God will do." In other words, she determined to wait on the Lord and allowed him to guide her thoughts and help her frame her words. Now, even though there's white space between these two chapters, don't think for a moment that God is whiling away his time, busy with other things. Remember, he may be invisible, but he is at work. That's the beauty of his invisibility. He can be moving in 1,000 places at the same time, working in circumstances that are beyond our control. During a waiting period, God is not only working in our hearts, he's working in others' hearts. And all the while, he is giving added strength. Remember Isaiah's words about waiting? "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." Isaiah 40, verse 31. even though the prophet's pen put these words on the sacred page centuries ago, that verse of scripture is as pertinent and relevant as what you read in the paper this morning, and far more trustworthy. From this verse, we learn that four things happen when we wait. First, we gain new strength. We may feel weak, even intimidated, when we turn to our Lord. While waiting, amazingly, we exchange our weakness for His strength. Second, we get a better perspective. It says, we will mount up with wings like eagles. Eagles can spot fish in a lake several miles away on a clear day. By soaring like eagles while waiting, we gain perspective on what we are dealing with.